Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. For many families, Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season. But if we're honest, there's a lot of money spending going on, too. This is especially the case if you have young children or grandchildren. The temptation to get something for each and every one of them is tempting. But what if you just don't have it to give? How do you talk to your children about the financial realities of the holidays? It may be more difficult than you think. Well, joining me to help us through this conversation is Vicki Hayter, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist with Emerge Lifestyle Consulting, and you, the listener. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. And by the way, if you are struggling with this conversation with your children, give us a call. Or perhaps if you have your own experiences with having this conversation with your children around the holidays, I'd like to hear your own solution or your own challenges. And as always, as I said, the phone lines will be open to take your phone calls up until about 8 o'clock. Vicki, how are you? Thank you so much for joining the conversation.
I'm great, Harold. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure thing. Absolutely. So, at first blush, and I remember years and years and years and years ago that my mother said to me one day, I don't know, guess this was maybe I was in my early teens, preteens, something like that. And she said to my sister that things are going to be a little tight this year, so don't expect much. I mean, we had already had, you know, the conversation about the guy in the red suit and all of that already. But she said, you just have to be grateful for what you get. And, you know, some people may think that that was a little harsh, a little forward, but so was the relationship that my sister and I had and still have with my mom. My mom is no cut card, straight, no chaser. Okay? But that's not the case with everyone. Why is this such a difficult conversation to have?
Well, I think I was raised where the folks were kind of more like yours, but now we are more into a concerted effort way of parenting. Means we do a lot of construction of our children's lives, and we have given so much. And I think even the parents feel disappointed when they can't give as much to their kids. And actually, quite frankly, we've set an expectation now. The kids have an expectation because we have done so much concerted effort to give them all the opportunities and utilize as many resources as we could possibly give to them. And now when we have to say we have to pull back, we're sad, we're disappointed, and their expectation doesn't just change overnight.
How did that expectation of plenty, that cornucopia of giving during the holidays, get started?
I think as the people, as you know, African American people, as you start to do better with careers, and you know, and certainly not saying that things are equitable, but understanding that as we have grown and incomes have increased, we've been able to do more for our children, and in doing so, we have this desire to give them. There's a saying, well, let me make sure I do better than what my parents did. So if your parents did okay, then there's this for sure effort that we put into making sure we do even better, because it shows a sign of success and look how far we've come and look what I'm able to give you. And unfortunately, it's not always balanced. I think I told someone just recently, I feel like sometimes we've done our kids a disservice as far as not teaching them to serve as much, right? We taught them to receive, to receive, to receive, but not to give and to serve yourself, whether it's time or money.
I think that's a really excellent point. But would you just look at the economics of Christmas giving and being bombarded all day on television, in social media, about things and keeping up with the Joneses? Does that have a tendency to rub off on our children, or in some cases, our grandchildren?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, even if I think about just kind of, yes, where you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, we're looking at labels. There's a lot of kids have so much access to the internet and all types of videos. They even watch other children play with videos and or not watch other children open up toys and give ratings on it. They're constantly reminded that they should have, you should have, you should have more, you should have more, whether it's there's an incessant amount of, around the holidays in particular, commercials and all the excitement around getting a new toy or a new, for my teenagers, all the latest threads. Like, the kids have so much access to see what people have and what's the latest this or that. And so they're inclined to want to keep up with it. Now, age appropriately, I understand, for, the teenagers, for your young adults, it's a social thing in some ways.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was saying I would think so, but please continue.
Yeah, and so with that, we have bought into it ourselves to some degree. Like, kids even watch us floss. So they see us keeping up with the latest and greatest, and then we've kind of brought them into it really early. And so, again, we've set an expectation that that's what it's about. And then, we talk about all the lavish things that we have or that we're going to do, and then we just pass it right on to them.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about a difficult conversation that some parents may have to have with their children, the conversation being that you just don't have it this year to give. Some really tough financial realities when it comes to gift giving this holiday season. How do you do it? Have you had issues with it? Are you struggling with it? If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sergeant Wells calling from Clinton, Maryland. Sergeant Wells, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, my daughter's 34 years old, and she knows, 35, I'm sorry, and she knows that I never celebrated Christmas from a commercial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that if she needs and I got it, she has it. So I don't base my giving to her one day out of the year. I don't think parents should do that to their kids, and just to let them know that we gave them life and we continue to give them, try our very best to give them a good life. So with that being said, they should take that and understand that when or if they have a family and they want to give a different way, they have the option. But remember that Christmas is not just one day out of the year. That is how I feel.
But let me ask you something. Your daughter's 35. Does she have children?
She does not have children, no.
Yeah. So, I think, but you know how children are.
She loves kids, though, now. Don't get me wrong. She'll do something for a kid. But it's not going to be just one time out of the year at Christmas.
No, I get it. But, she's 35 now, but she was a child at one point. And I can't imagine, when I'm 10 years old or something like that, that even with my mother in her very direct way of speaking, saying, you know, there aren't gonna, there may not be a gift under the tree, but I gave you life, so you know, just wrap that up. And
I didn't say it like that.
I know, I'm just messing with you, but you kind of get my point.
I
know. You know,
I get your point. You know what my daughter really wanted? She wanted this thing by Snow. I think it was a Snow White Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted this thing like a cup. Beauty and the Beast. That's all she wanted. She didn't care when she got it. As long as she got this chipped cup, she cried for. So I gave her that. But okay. I didn't wait. You know, I didn't wait for Christmas to give it to her. You know, and what I didn't celebrate for Christmas, someone else did. Now, I didn't stop them from doing that. But I never had a tree in my house.
Okay. Well, Sergeant Wells, thank you so
He's okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about having a difficult conversation with your children about the financial realities of the holidays. What if you just cannot afford to give this year? How do you have that conversation? William, calling from Landover. William, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I would like to piggyback off the brother that just spoke.
Okay.
I have the same situation. It's not a financial thing. It's a thing of telling your children the truth about it. Why do we continue to lie and then they find out that there is no Batman in no suit, but and then they continue to tell the lie to their children and children. Why not? Since we have the Google now, we can Google who is Nimrod and when is his birthday. If I think that is the right thing to do, so they can continue to tell the truth about this situation.
William, turn down your radio for me, please. But here's my question for you, William. The fat man in the suit notwithstanding, even if the children know, say they're teenagers, and they realize that the diameter of the chimney explained some serious realities about that. But even if they're going to get a gift from you, or gifts plural, and if, as Vicky was saying, that we set these expectations for our children, how do you deal with the letdown? What's that conversation like?
Well, that's what I was getting at. If we start off from the beginning and tell them that this is a commercialized day, that there is no birthday of that they are celebrating of this person that they are celebrating. That is totally somebody else that they are worshiping. And then, biblically, that the Bible tells us that we should not put these trees in our houses with glitter and gold and things like that. So if you really want to stay biblically, then they shouldn't do that anyway.
Hmm.
The gift giving is a thing that you give your children all the time. And we should always be happy and merry year around.
Yeah.
There should be no killing and shooting and hurting. We should always be neighborly and happy and gay and all that old stuff.
Yeah. Well, William, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I, you know, with all due respect to William, Vicky, standing in the middle of the mall with, you know, that philosophy, and watching all of the people walk past you and in some cases knock you down because they're going for a sale, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. I agree with you, Harold. I'm just thinking about, it's something about the nostalgia that has been created
in
time with the commercialism. But I think there's also a just there is a sense of goodwill. Like, people feel something, they want to do something, they want to give, and so that nostalgia is easy to catch hold of. Even if you tell your children there's no Santa, there's still a nostalgia around Christmas that I think more people are more inclined to be willing to feel, the willing to move on it. And so I think you do have to balance it pretty early, especially if you have children and if you even having grandkids. Like, I always tell my kids, don't ask your grandparents for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I even ask them, they'll call me, what do the kids want for Christmas? And I'm hesitant to ask, but I know they're going to ask the kids, but I always want to check off, like, nope, you cannot ask them for that.
Yeah.
I just think it's fair for you. How much does it cost? Can you find another alternative? People want to give, and I think that nostalgic feeling is, I don't think you can avoid it. And I will say the joy of Christmas, you know, as a Christian, you believe that it's from, you know, Jesus' birth and et cetera. So even that, people want to give.
Hold that point, Vicki, because I've got a lot to say about the last piece that you were discussing. Also, Terry from La Plata, we are going to talk to you next on the other side of this break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to hear how you handle telling your children the realities, the financial realities of holiday giving. If you don't have it, how do you tell them? What's the age-appropriate conversation? I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation will be back in just a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. How do you talk to your children about the financial realities of the holidays? That is, of course, assuming that those realities are some pretty harsh realities. You just don't have it this year, even after years and years of lots of giving to your children on Christmas Day. How do you have that conversation? Have you had that situation? Have you had to talk to your children? Was it difficult? How did you feel about it? Well, my guest is Vicki Hayter, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist with Emerge Lifestyle Consulting. And we are taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so Vicki, to the point, and we've had some great philosophical phone calls, I said, okay? But, you know, I think philosophy goes out the window when you want to give. You want to be demonstrative in showing your children that you are certainly thinking about them, and and stuff is expensive. The whole Xbox and the virtual reality stuff. You know, that's no Lego set. That's no G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip. You know,
right.
You know, that's no Afrocentric Barbie. Those things cost hundreds of dollars. And the things that now a lot of young people identify as toys are high-end electronics or computers that are in the thousands of dollars. So that's a tough row to hoe.
Yes, absolutely. Again, it's back to the expectations. These things are to be expected, even when it's really tight for parents, not just around Christmas. We've kind of gotten into this keeping up with the Joneses. We've gotten into the expectation that everyone has one. We just, quite frankly, somehow we get past what is important around budgeting in general. And that doesn't, all of a sudden Christmas comes, that doesn't change us. It actually makes us want to give even more, right? And so I say for parents, when it comes to expensive gifts and you know that this is just going to kill your budget, you got to really see for yourself. Some parents will just blow the budget for it and end up in debt and then have a lot of frustration and heartache after Christmas, coming into the new year. But if you do got to plan ahead, just like you would teach your kids to budget their money. Like I always tell my kids, listen, what's your budget for Christmas? Who are you buying gifts for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know, here's what money I'm going to give you, right? And so what is your budget for getting other people's gifts? We have to do the same thing when it comes to them and buying gifts for other people. We need to set a budget of what we're going to spend and stick with it. And if you're going to have a hard time doing it, have somebody that you're accountable to so that you do stick with it.
Ah, I like that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry calling from La Plata. Terry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, for me and my family, my mother never liked the idea of telling children that Santa Claus was this white guy that came and brought you gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than ruin the wonder of Christmas, I tell my children the truth. I said, in your world, Santa Claus is a black woman. We call her Sister Santa, which means it was me. The other thing was, I discovered when my daughter and I were cleaning up her toys, she looked at some of her toys and said, where did these come from?
Whoa.
And I said, they're your toys. And she was like, no, I've never seen this. I said, no, this is a set that I bought you from Walmart, and I was telling her how much it cost. She didn't remember all that. So I told her that day, when you have so much stuff that you don't even recognize that you have too much stuff, I said, today we're going to throw broken toys away. The good toys we're going to divide in half and give to some other children, and you're going to keep what's left of that half. So from that point forward, what I started doing was, at Christmas, I told my children, you can write a list to Sister Santa. You can tell her the top three things that you would like to have. I said, mm-hmm. Sister Santa will decide what you get if you get anything off of that list. I said, I know for a fact Sister Santa's going to bring you books, underwears, clothing. I know you're going to get that because Sister Santa already told me. I said, but anything else, if it's within reason, Sister Santa may get it for you. So we went from having a tree with gifts extending halfway into the living room to my kids would get one, maybe two things off of that one through three list that they asked for. And I told them, I said, you know, Sister Santa says you need education, you need clothing. So I always made sure they got books and clothing. And we always let them know Christmas is not about getting these gifts. It's about Jesus. We do the Christmas story. We go into depth about what it really meant. And then one year our pastor challenged us. He's dead and gone, Byron Adams. Pastor Byron Adams challenged us to take every gift we had already purchased and give it to someone else. He said, how many can really do that? We did that. And that was hard for my kids. But from that point forward, we started making Christmas meaningful. Why give people things that they don't need, won't use? Give them things that they can use and you'll see tangible use of. So we started being more thoughtful in that. We started making gifts because it had to be more than just this commercialism that had us all going into debt. I don't go into debt. I haven't been in debt for Christmas in years. And my children will tell you, about Sister Santa. My child even went to school and told his classroom that in his world, Santa Claus was a black woman named Sister Santa. And the teacher, of course, called me.
Yeah, and then Sister, and, I bet Sister Santa had an attitude.
But it was so funny. He asked me to tell the him to tell the class that he was incorrect. And I told him no. I told her no. I said, in his world, Santa Claus is a black woman. Am I not black? She said, yes. I said, am I a woman? She said, yes. I said, do I buy their gifts? She said, yes. I said, so call me Sister Santa. I said, what you can do is you can tell his classmates that in his world, in his household, Santa Claus is a black woman. In their household, it could be whatever their parenting or, you know, what their structure looked like. So I didn't tell her, you know, wouldn't let him say, no, it's not true, because it was true. And my kids are now all adults. My youngest is in college in Houston. And they will tell you, they remember writing letters to Sister Santa. They did not get a ton of things, but they got the things that they needed. And I was very clear about it because it didn't make sense to go into debt for stuff that your kids don't even realize that they have and own. They have so much stuff. It was just too much.
Let me ask you, something, Sister, Terry.
Well, look, they're all adults now, so the cat is out the bag.
How old was your daughter when you had that conversation about what gift is this? Where did it come from?
Oh, wow. Her toys. And my daughter, my kids, I've been that parent. You know, I got to make sure my babies have. And that's, like you said, that's what black parents do, especially when they come from poverty homes themselves, you know, where they experience lack. So you always try to give. But Tegan was about, I think she was about maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, and, so she was, we were cleaning, she was up her very room. Young.
Yeah. I didn't play with it because, again, my mother didn't even want us to say Santa Claus because she's like, no white man come in your house. We ain't got no chimney. Don't lie to them children. So for me, instead of, like I said, ruining the joy of Christmas, I just told them the truth. I made it work because in their world, Santa Claus was a black woman.
So what was her reaction when you said that we're going to throw the broken toys away and give them to...
She had a living fit. She started crying. Ooh. She started screaming. But like I told her, I said, Tegan, when you have so many toys that you do not recognize them, you have too much. I said, and you know what? I remember I took money from a light bill to buy you this $40 baby doll.
Mm.
I remember I had to work extra hours so you can have these little triplets over here that I got from Walmart that you don't even remember where they came from. I remember.
Okay.
I said, and I will never do that again. I said, I won't. And from that point forward, I think they had a better appreciation of it. Plus, I will tell you this. Your children will do what you allow them to do in the sense of, I make my children do community service.
Yeah.
We used to serve the community. We go out there and we cook Thanksgiving dinner and we give it to families and to others. I made them do it. My youngest son, the one that's 19 in college, Mom, I don't know these people. Why do I have to do it? I said, because you have to.
Or maybe
said,
just because you said so. Yeah. Well, look, Terry, thank you for that story. I love it. And if you get a letter from me, just... about what I want on Sunday, just honor it. But thank you so much. I appreciate
you
your phone
Merry
call.
Christmas.
Merry
Be
Christmas
safe.
To
God
you.
Bless you.
So what were you hearing in that conversation, Vicky? Because I think that the piece that I was looking for, as she said, her daughter was 7 years old. And again, sounded to me straight, no chaser. This is the deal. This is the medicine that you need to take, but obviously they've gotten over it. A good idea or bad idea?
I think it's a great idea. In fact, we should be talking to kids about money, not just at Christmas, but certainly at earlier ages. I take my kids when they, so if they want to go to a birthday party and they need to pick out a gift, I take them with me so they can get used to having to give without always getting something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And it's hard for them, but I need them to start experiencing that. You don't always have to get something, right? Yeah. It's good to give of yourself, but you do it early so the kids can recognize that Christmas is, they're right, not just about my, I have older kids. So the teenagers has already spoiled it for the 5-year-old that there is no Santa. And so as much as we try, if we try to like go along, like, yeah, what do you want Santa to bring you? We never say that he was a white man in a fast food or anything like that. But my kids have said, very clear to him there is no Santa, so he doesn't harp on the whole Santa thing. But we talked to them early about spending, budgeting. Like, hey, no, we cannot. Like, this year we will not be doing XYZ. Like, you guys, and my kids are good about trying to figure out how to earn money.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jamie calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Jamie. What's on your mind? Jamie, are you there? Jamie, give me a call back if you can. So we talk about how to have this conversation with children, but what about married couples? What kind of conversation do you first need to, or partnered couples that you first need to have with each other before you... tell the children? Because let's go just, you know, full traditional, you know, breadwinner, man, head of the household, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
All right.
And where, the father may feel as if he has failed the family, failed, you know, his little sweetie pie or little man or what have you, because for whatever reason he was not able to do as he has been in the past or even do what he wanted to this year, whether it was on par with what was done in the past.
Right. I definitely think couples need to talk about kind of this save, give, spend. So as we plan out, you know, if you're in a couple situation, we should be talking about finances on a regular basis. And Christmas is one of those times where we tend to do more spending. So you have to have conversations, not just up a few days before and then we go crazy and have no budget, but that's a conversation that should be had earlier on as to what you want to spend for the holidays and what if you can't spend very much. It's okay to express your disappointment to one another and talk about ways in which you can make it work for those little ones. So kids like experiences. If you say we're going to sit down and we're going to watch a bunch of movies together or let's do some baking together or let's go ice skating together. They will be just as happy for those experiences. I think we are caught up into getting them exactly what they want, and I think that's not very helpful for kids to always get them what they want. Sometimes you need to make them wait for it. Like, we in our household, it's like, well, we'll see. We don't always say yes, we'll see. Because I need to kind of see how things are going. I make my kids go research things. You want make a list. Okay, you can hand it to me. Prioritize what you want. See how much it costs. But then when I say, oh, you want me to spend that much on it? But you won't spend that much yourself. So how much would you pay for that then? Then they go, well, I wouldn't. Okay.
Well, I would.
When you're spending somebody else's money, it's easy to spend as much as you want.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rico calling from Germantown. Rico, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I really appreciate this topic because my philosophy or our philosophy in my house has been for years that as a general rule, if you make less than six figures, you should not spend more than 1% of your gross annual income. And that's why I've or your gross income. So that's what we've instilled in our children all this time. And if you make more than six figures or more than 100,000, you can't spend 2%. And what's interesting is my oldest daughter, she's a recent college grad, and she's out on her own. She's earning her own money. And even before she graduated, we talked to her about this. And we told her, whatever you do, think a little harder, but do not spend more than 1%. Limit yourself, be creative, and just keep a short list. Your parents don't need anything. Think about what we may want, but we don't need anything. But to your friends, you got to be very careful with that. And I am very glad to say that, you know, recently she told us, I followed your advice, and it feels good to not have to worry about having debt after Christmas because most of my friends are already going to be paying for their Christmas gifts for the next year. So that's always been my advice. If you make six figures or less, no more than 1% of your budget should go towards, or your income should go towards gifts.
But Rico, you know, you bring up an interesting point because we've been talking about the conversation that parents have with children. But you said, you know, your parents don't need anything. But Vicky, if you've got great parents whom you love and appreciate and have the mature wherewithal, you're going to want to do something for your parents, particularly if, as Rico said, his daughter is out of college and on her own. So she's got a job. So what kind of how are you going to tell your beloved child that she can't buy her beloved parents? How do you do that?
You know, I'm thinking about that, and sometimes I do think that kids kind of want to show their appreciation to their parents, and so they tend to do that sometimes at the holidays, sometimes at special anniversaries, and I think parents can be receptive to receiving gifts like that from their kids, but I think once you started early giving them this idea of how you are to budget your money around the holidays, they'll find creative ways in which, if they did want to, say, spend more than the 1%, maybe they've already thought about ways in which they've saved up more so that they don't end up in debt to be able to cover something really nice for their parents.
Yeah, because I think it would be hard to refuse a gift from my child. I just want to see her, but I don't. She doesn't need to buy me anything, but I've already gotten a gift card, you know, from my daughter. And okay, thank you, sweetie. But when am I going to see? when am I going to see you?
What I encourage them is, instead of buying me material items, do something with our time. Take me to lunch. Take me to dinner. And to me, being that she's out of the house now and our son, he's also in college, I prefer to do those type of things because it's easy to spend $30, $40, $50. But let's go out to lunch. I will come to you and you could treat me to lunch. And to me, that means a whole lot more than buying a gift.
Yeah.
And it's working quite well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I've called my daughter's personal secretary, and so that
put me on her
calendar, her Christmas calendar, and see if we can get together. And of course, I'll let you know, Dad. Okay, sweetie, thank you so much, Rico. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate you. 202-319-7810 202-319-7810 One of the things you did mention earlier, Vicky, was also about grandparents, also, mm-hmm. And that's. A lot of times, you know, grandparents, no matter how, you know, these that, you know, as they say, grandparents are built differently than they were when I was growing up. You know, now we've got, you know, sexy senior citizens and they are, you know, out and doing, you know, their own thing. And, you know, having, you know, second careers, you know, and the like, and they've got all of this energy. But I think the reality is that a lot of grandparents, if they are around retirement age, they are on fixed incomes and they don't have a lot coming to them. How do you have that conversation with your children? Because you know how grandparents are.
Right.
They're not listening to Vicky, you know, and they're going to do what they do, however they can.
Right. I think it's a conversation for us to have with our parents, so the kids' grandparents, about, I know they want to do things for the kids, and we can't tell them they can't. But like my folks now will ask me, Vic, so I'm thinking about this. I'd like to get them that, or what should I get the kids? I appreciate that because I'm very mindful of how much I think is appropriate for them to spend as well. And so typically if you're having a conversation with your parents about what they want to get the grandkids, it's going to help set what would be helpful. Like I try to give them like, oh, if you want to give them something, maybe this, a more thoughtful gift. And I try to remind my kids, don't ask them, like, I don't think it's fair for them to ask them for very expensive gifts.
Yeah, but my question is not so much telling the children not to ask, but you're going to have that conversation with the grandparents.
Right. So, and my thing is letting the grandparents know, I know you want to do these things. Tell me what you were, ask them, like, what were you thinking of getting them? Or it's okay, they only want this. Like, they want to just maybe bake with you or go do something fun with you. Like, have the grandparents even. Because grandparents don't usually know exactly what to get the kids. They usually will ask the parents or they ask the kids. And so if they're asking the parents could give them a better gauge of what they could do if they really want to get them something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what we're often seeing now, at least with, you know, some families with older teenagers or very young adult children. I think that people have a handle on that, at least in my family. I've got, you know, a really sharp nephew, and last year I bought him stock. You know, mm-hmm. I bought him a fraction of a share of, and you know, as one of those financial literacy lessons, and he's in 11th grade. I think he's in 11th grade. Yeah, or 11th or 12th grade. And but so he's already in the right headspace, and you know, no thanks to me. That's his mother and his father. But and I would say also, you know, again, with my daughter, the expectation of big gifts or lots of gifts ended more than a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And as our callers in the very beginning of tonight's conversation shared with us, you have to start early. And so perhaps this conversation is less for those who have children and are still in the murky waters of trying to figure it out, and more for those who will be parents, and how to start, you know, from the beginning and not set the bar so high.
I really do think so, Harold. As I've been talking to, as a therapist, of course, and just on a personal standpoint, like, we have really set a high expectation, and it's all around them, right? They can access everything they want to see about this world so easily, and we then do our best to try to meet those expectations without giving them some real good skills about giving of yourself, serving, about money, financial literacy. We have to start that early. And so I think for those who are planning to have children, this is where they want to start. They want to be sure to have those types of conversations with their, just kind of get that idea in your mind. I think we have to also get out of our own way by doing the things that blow our budget, right? If you, that's what you pass on. If your kids have to have name brand for everything, and they have to have the latest this or that, the latest iPhone, like, if we're that way, we tend to pass that right down to the children.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Getting out of your own way and having the conversation with yourself, which may very well be one of the most difficult conversations of all, Vicky.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's managing our own expectations, even as a parent. Okay, what kind of parent am I? I give my kids, ever make sure they have the latest this, the latest that. I want them to be cool. I want them to be hip, because we're also dealing with that ourselves. And we have to look at self first to see how we spend, how we give, how we save, how we budget, right? And then how are we talking to our kids about that? Do we want to come off as we got it all? I have it together. I have all the finances, resources. Is that what we want to pass on to them? You have to ask yourself those kinds of questions. What am I showing them in the way that I spend, the way that I talk about money? Do they not know that I blow my budget sometimes? Do they not know that it gets tight sometimes? How do they see me from a financial perspective? That I have money growing on trees? Is that what it seems like? Because I give them whatever they want whenever.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, you know, way back in the time machine, when you took money from a light bill to, you know, to buy a gift, so the next month when the lights go out and the child asks, "Why is it dark in here?" you say, "Merry Christmas." So,
Sister Santa. Yeah.
Sister Santa. Sister Santa, Brother Santa, that is an important and hilarious lesson. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, so like you said, get out of your way. Sometimes you're just going to, you know, have that age appropriate conversation with them and let them know. And indeed, the sooner the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would definitely recommend parents, like, if you kids have an expectation, you haven't done this early on, if this is your Christmas and you're feeling really bad, manage your own feelings first. Kids may be disappointed, but it's better to just go ahead and tell them, right? And then focus on the experiences. Take them out to do fun things. Take them out to serve, to see what it's like to give somebody else something and the joy they feel from that. There are definitely ways in which you can make them remember Christmas from a more positive and joyful perspective that is not just about the gifts under the tree. Yeah, you can do a few things, have the nostalgia feeling and the opening up and seeing how the kids respond, but it doesn't have to be go all out and end up in debt.
Well, Vicki Hayter, thank you so much for talking to us, and happy holidays to you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Harold. I really appreciate being with you all tonight.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.